Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us as we gather together in your name. You promise us that if we gather together in your name with two or more people, you will be in our midst. And I pray that the Spirit of truth will fill our heart so that we not only see the light in your word, and I pray that your glory attract us to follow after you and all the days of our life. And speak to your children through your servant and help him to explain your word clearly so that your children not only be able to understand, but also have the ability to do it. And help us not just to be the hearer of your word, but also be a doer of your word. And I pray that the God of our Heavenly Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our glorious Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we truly understand who you are and what you have in store for us. And I pray that you fill us with your word, and so that we walk in your way and be pleasing in your sight all the days of our life until we see you face to face. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And I would like to explain to you in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 is equivalent to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And Ephesians chapter 2, 6 and 7 is equivalent to Ephesians 2, 10. And I just show you the comparison. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, make us alive with Christ Jesus. And for it is by grace that we have been saved. And in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for it is by grace we have been saved through faith. This not from yourself, it is the gifts of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. In here, the verse 9 emphasizes not by work so that no one can boast. None of us here that who are saved by Jesus because of our own race, because of our own gender, because of what we have done. No. It's not because you are male, or it's not because you are female, it's not because you are Chinese or because you are American. It got nothing to do of your nationality. We were saved mainly by grace through faith. Grace is given by God. Faith is also from God. If God is gracious to us, reveal his word to each and every one of us, then we have faith in him. So salvation equal to God's grace plus man's faith. In the Catholic Church, it's like that, plus man's work. But that's not according to what the Bible says. So that is wrong. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. All of us has been saved by God through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Where does faith come from? Man's faith, where does faith come from? Faith comes from the Word of God. If you hear the Word of God, you have faith. Where does it say? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message. Message comes from the Word of God, Word of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you hear, if you understand what Jesus has said to you, and you put your faith in His Word, then you have faith in God. Then you are saved. So salvation is equal God's grace plus man's faith. Not man's work, man's faith. Okay? And so that's why the Bible say, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it is the gifts of God. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation comes from God. Not by work. Salvation is not by work. It's not because you have done something. It's just because you believe. You believe what Jesus Christ has done for you. Christ died on the cross for us. I tell you what kind of faith that we have. In Isaiah 53, verse 10, it pleased the Heavenly Father. It pleased the Heavenly Father to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins, so as to redeem our spirit, our soul, and our body. Can someone read it to me? Isaiah is in the Old Testament, 53, verse 10.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And through the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in His hand.
Did you find Isaiah 53, verse 10? Let me read that to you again. Yet it was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's will to crush him. Who is him? That's Jesus Christ, His only Son, one and only Son. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord make his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his day. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. I want you to circle in verse 10. The Lord's will. And then in the last portion of verse 10, the will of the Lord, the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said in Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. Jesus Christ not only do the will of the Lord, Jesus Christ accomplished his will. He finished it. So that's why the sixth saying, when Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, you know what he say? He say, it is finish. The will of the Lord will be prosper in his hand. He reached out his hand, he stretched it out, and he was hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. That is the guilt offering
for our own sins, for our transgression. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the way of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. When we were disobedient against God, and yet God sent his one and only Son to die on a cross for us, that is the will of the Lord. You understand? Jesus Christ fulfilled and accomplished the will of the Lord and willing to die on the cross. What kind of faith do we have? These are the faith that we have in God, because it's accomplished in Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? So you write down Isaiah 53 verse 10. You write down Gospel of John chapter 4 verse 34. My food is to sustain our own life on earth. When Jesus Christ finished the will of the Lord, he said, the sixth saying, Father, I handed my spirit unto you. Then he passed away. He finished his task. He don't need to eat any more food. That's why he said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish it. Joyce, could you read that? Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. Gospel of John is in New Testament. Donald, could you read it? So, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. Right beside that, you write down Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, and to cause Jesus Christ to suffer on the cross. It is the will of the Lord to do that. To crush him and to cause him to suffer. Why? Because Jesus sins against God? No. Because we have sins against God. The righteous die for the unrighteous. The just die for a sinner. Okay? And though the Lord make his life a guilt offering, and he will see his offspring, even though he died on the cross, and God raised him up on the third day according to the scripture. That's why Jesus Christ will see his offspring and prolong his day. Once Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he lives forever and ever. That's why the Bible says he will prolong his day. And the will of the Lord, that means the will of the Heavenly Father, will prosper in his hand, in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him, is to do the will of the Lord, the Heavenly Father who sent me, and to finish his work, to accomplish it. That's why he say on the sixth day, it is finished. Right beside to finish his work, you write down 19. When Jesus Christ has received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished, that means what is prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 10, Jesus Christ said, I finished the will of the Lord. I carry it out and accomplish it. And that's the faith that we have in Jesus. Do you understand? So it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This not from yourself. You are not saved because of you have done good work. No, we are sinners. You are saved because of His grace to you. And so that's why in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, because of His great love for us, right beside Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, because of His great love for us, what kind of great love? When someone don't love you and yet you still love him, that is great love. I love someone who loves me, that is not great love. We don't deserve His love, yet He loved me. That is great love. You write down right beside chapter 2, verse 4, great love. You write down Romans 5:8. You write down 5:6, 5:8, 5:10. Then you know it's great love. When we were weak, yet according to God's time, He died for us. When we were yet sinner, He died for us. When we were His enemy, we sinned against Him, we disobeyed Him, yet He died for us. That is great love. Does that make sense? Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, chapter 2, verse 4 of Ephesians, who is rich in mercy, make us alive in verse 5. Make us alive with Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in our own transgression. Kyle, could you read that? Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 5, verse 8, 5, verse 10. That demonstrates His great love for us. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6, 8, and 10.
Verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly.
We are still powerless. That means we are still weak, right? We can't carry out the task of God. We still sin against God. Okay? 5, 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That is great love. You know what? It is the plan, it is the will of the Lord to send His Son to die on the cross for us. But when Jesus Christ sees so many of His enemies mock at Him, saying to Him, if you are the Son of God, you come down from the cross, then I believe in you. And you know, Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ was angry at that time, he say, wow, let me show you. I'm going to come down and slap your face. And then as I walk away, you know, then we are in deep trouble. You know what I mean? So that's exactly what the Bible say, at just the right time. You know, when was Jesus Christ die? On the Passover day. Okay? On the Passover. And that's the day He declared Himself to be the Lamb of God. He was slaughtered. His blood was shed on the cross. And so that our sins are forgiven. And all our sins are covered by His blood. Atoned by His blood. Cleansed by His blood. That's why we are pure. Because He shed His blood on the cross at the right time. Because He is the Lamb of God. And when we were still powerless, Christ died on the cross for the ungodly. Verse 8. Could you read that?
Verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
You know, if you plan to do something for your friend, you find out your friend is unworthy to receive that kind of gifts, you say, forget it, I'm not going to give it to you. I give it to someone else. That's not great love. You know, He made that decision and He determined that He's going to crush His Son on a Passover day. disregard whether you are powerful or you are powerless, disregard that you are his enemy or not, disregard whether you love him or not, he did it on that time. Just like what he prophesied through the book of Isaiah 53 verse 10. At the right time, on the Passover day, he sent his son to die on the cross for the powerless one, for the ungodly, and for us, for sinners like us. And that's how God demonstrates his love for us, his own love. This kind of love only God has. Man doesn't have this kind of love. Carl, will you love your fiancé if she didn't love you?
Sure.
Don't tell me that. Come on. If she walk away from you and hold the hand of another boy and you say you still love her?
It's foolishness, I know.
Are you try to deceive me or you try to deceive her?
All of the above.
All of the above. Hannah, will you do it? The one you love, assuming you have a handsome boyfriend, and then all of a sudden you saw him holding a hand of another beautiful girl?
Or another man.
Or another man, okay.
It'd be over.
It'll be over, right? So that's why Bible say God demonstrate his own love. Only God had this kind of love. Human being doesn't have this kind of love. We love you because you love me. That's man's love. But God's love is, even though you're powerless, even though you're ungodly, even though you're his enemy, even though you're weak, even though you disobey him, he still died on the cross for you. No other religions demonstrate this kind of love. That's why I submit to our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's great God. He demonstrates God's love to each and every one of us. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right beside verse 8, his own love, you write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, great in love, we are saved, not by work, so that no one can boast. We are saved because of his great love. We are saved because of his rich in mercy. You understand? Great in love, rich in mercy. That's who God is. And he makes us alive with Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in our transgressions. So that's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, 4 and 5 is equivalent to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, but just using different kind of wording to describe the same thing. So, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This not from yourself. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is from God. It is the gifts of God because of his great love and rich in mercy. I say that again. Could someone read Romans 10, 4, 17? Faith come from hearing the message. The message come from the word of Christ. If you go to the church and you do not hear the pastor preaching about the word of Christ, even though you say you have faith in God, your faith is not genuine faith. You need to hear the word of Christ before you can put your faith in God. Gabriel, could you read that?
Romans 10:1.
17.
Consequently,
message is heard through the word of Christ.
If you go to the church, hear the message is only a story. You don't need to open up the Bible. You don't need to read the Bible. Very likely, you don't even have faith, the kind of faith that God wants, that God requires of you. Okay? Faith comes from the message. The message comes from the word of Christ. You need to read the Bible. You need to understand what God says. Then you can say, I have faith in God. I know exactly what He has done for me so that I respond to His love and live a life worthy of the calling that you have received from Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for Christ, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, right? How shall I live a life worthy of His calling? Because of His great love for me. I don't deserve His love. Because of His salvation for me, because He saved me. He saved me because I'm turning around? No, He saved me when I'm yet sinner, when I'm still sinning against Him. Chapter 5, verse 6 in Romans, when I'm powerless, when I'm ungodly, He saved me. Chapter 5, verse 8, when I'm yet sinner, I'm still a sinner against Him. He's a holy God, yet He died for me. So God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that He died for us when we were yet sinner. Chapter 5, verse 10, could you read that, Carl?
For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?
Chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His own Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So salvation is equal God's grace. Right beside God's grace, you write down God's grace, that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved. So salvation is by grace. That grace is God's grace. You not only write down 2, 8, you write down 2, 4, and 5. What is God's grace? God's great love for us, that's grace. Freely given His love towards us, that's grace. You don't have to pay for anything. All you have to do is reach out your hand and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I need Your grace. I need Your great love. I need Your mercy. And you write down chapter 2, verse 4, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, rich in mercy. When you are merciful to someone who begging for food, you find out that he's very, very lazy, never changed. Later on, after a month or so, you stop being merciful to him, right? That's not rich in mercy. God say He's rich in mercy and make us alive with Christ Jesus when we were dead in our transgression. So man's faith. You write down man's faith. You write down 10, Romans 10, 17. And also you write down Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 10, and Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. That's man's faith. Christ died on the cross because He wanted to fulfill God's will. And that's exactly Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 is saying. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Donald, do you see that? You read it. Instead of using who, you say the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father.
Okay, I want you to write down certain thing, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. According to the will, circle the word, the will. That will is Isaiah 53, verse 10. You wasn't here, Gabriel, you have to read Isaiah 53, verse 10. Tell me what's the will of the Lord. What is the will of our Heavenly Father for His Son to do? And you also read John chapter 4, verse 34. What's holding you up? You are late. It's because your brother drives slowly?
No, we just got stuck.
Got stuck in where? In Waymut?
No, just the alleyway.
Oh,
in our place, like there's a lot of snow there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he is Superman.
No.
No? No, he's not, eh? Okay. So could you read that, Isaiah 53:10?
Yeah, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And through the
So is the Lord's will cause him to suffer? Is the Lord's will to crush him? Who is him? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? No, is this the Heavenly Father? Is this the will of the Heavenly Father? To cause Jesus Christ to suffer?
Yeah.
And so why eh?
Because he said Satan instead of Jesus Christ.
Who said Satan? I didn't hear that.
But I heard it, so I thought it was funny.
I meant Lord Jesus Christ.
What, do you have the same Bible as I?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you read that again?
Yeah, it was Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand.
You see, you circle the word the will. The will. You circle the word the will of the Lord, the Lord's will. Circle that. You write that down. Galatians 1:4. Paul used to be a Pharisee. He doesn't believe. Paul is the one only believe in Old Testament. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. But once he turned around, once he repented and have faith in Jesus Christ, he realized Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's not because of his own sins. Jesus Christ died as a guilt offering for our own guilt, for our own sin. Not for his own sin. He's sinless. He's a holy God. You understand? Yeah. So once Paul realized this, once Paul understand that, so that's why he write the book of Galatians and saying that. What did he say? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. For our sins. To rescue us from the present evil age. Why would he do that? According to the will of our God and Father. The will of our God and Father, according to Isaiah 53, verse 10, what did the Bible say? It was the Lord's will to crush Jesus and to cause him to suffer. Though the Lord make his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his day. And the will of the Lord will prosper in Jesus' hand. Do you remember the sixth saying of Jesus Christ when he was hung on the cross. In Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 31, what did he say? He said, it is finished. Right? Yeah. It is finished. Finished of what? Finished the will of the Heavenly Father. And that's why, when he began his ministry, in Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you see that? Could you read that?
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
What verse is it? 30, right? 19:30? What about chapter 4, verse 34? In the same Gospel of John.
My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Jesus Christ not only do the will of the Heavenly Father, but he finished it too. You know, sometimes, you know, we do certain tasks. At the beginning, we like it. But in the end, we don't like it. We don't finish it. That's no good. We begin the task. We finish it. You understand? So that's why you have to study hard, man. Right? So in the end, then you can say to your daddy and mommy, say, mommy, daddy, I begin my work, I finish it. When you get a bachelor degree, right? So I want each and every one of you, especially children, when you study, I want you to study hard. Then you can say what Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. Don't give up. You understand? Daniel, do your assignment, okay? You got that? Okay. So next time, if you don't do your assignment, if your teacher say one want to see your parents, I'm going to go there. Okay? You know what happened to you. Okay?
You will be finished.
You will be finished, yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Same as you, Michael, okay? Michael? Do you hear me? Be diligent. Work hard, okay? Don't give me excuse. When he come to my place on Monday, he went to the washroom for close to half an hour. Are you having a diarrhea or what? It won't take that long.
Constipation.
I should take you to see a doctor, okay? Come here, Michael, come here. You don't want to see Pastor John's face? Next time, 1 minute in the washroom, okay? Get it done and get out of it. You understand?
Don't mess.
Yeah, don't mess up my washroom too, okay? Okay, go back. So, salvation equal to God's grace because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, make us alive with Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in our own transgression. And then salvation is equal to God's grace plus man's faith. Some people say, I don't want to believe in Jesus. I believe in somebody else. You don't have salvation. Why? Because Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. That means the only way. There's no other way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So we have to put our faith in Jesus Christ, because God sent his only Son, one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And God wants us to put our faith not on anybody else, but on Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, there's only one way to heaven, is to have faith in Jesus Christ, to reach out your hand to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and ask Jesus, Jesus, forgive all my sins, and now invite Jesus Christ to enter into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. Then and only then, you can receive God's salvation. Now, I want to put emphasis in here. After you are saved, after you receive God's grace, receive God's great love, receive God rich in mercy, receive all these kind of blessings, after you receive all these kind of blessings, God expects you to live a life worthy of his calling. Could we read it together in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1? Paul, as the prisoner for the Lord, Paul said, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Galatians 4:1. Let's read it together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What kind of calling that we have received? A lot of Christian church, they only put emphasis in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Because there's a small booklet called Four Spiritual Law. Have you ever read the small booklet, Four Spiritual Law, when people share the gospel to you? Okay? And the author put a lot of emphasis in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But he ignored chapter 2, verse 10. This is the booklet. Have you ever read that? So that's why a lot of Christians, they don't live a life worthy of the Lord's calling. And they don't know that. In chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now that you are saved, now that you receive great love from God, now that you receive rich mercy from God, he expects you to grow. He expects you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You understand? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Now that you are saved, he expects other people look at you, especially non-Christian look at you. Hopefully, looking at you, they can see the life of Jesus in you. You remember that when we are sinners, we open our heart and confess our sin and ask Jesus Christ to enter into our heart, right? If we allow Jesus Christ to enter into our heart, let Jesus to grow in our heart. When people look at me, he didn't see me, he sees Jesus. So that's why, Emily, don't spend so much time on Vancouver and snow trip. Do you know every year so many people die in the avalanche? You want to die there, Emily? Yes or no? You want me to pray that you're going to die there? No? So don't go there. It's scary. Even though professional, they die there. You understand? You don't know the danger of it. It's very dangerous. Eh? You almost what?
I almost so tired I couldn't even get down the hill anymore. Josh had to save me.
Yeah.
It wasn't even near Avalanche. It was like a green hill. My legs got too tired.
You see that?
And then he got windburn coming down.
See?
It's dangerous.
See? So you got, you know. I want you to read that three times. Chapter 2, verse 10. Emily, you read it three times so that you sink into your mind. Now that you are saved, now that you are God's daughter, God expects you to grow in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want a baby Jesus in your heart. He wants a full-grown Jesus in your heart so that you can witness for Jesus. When people look at you, they can see Jesus. Did you see Jesus go to a ski trip? Did you? In the Bible, in the four Gospels? Has he ever been to a ski trip? He went up to the mountain, but he didn't ski down. You right? Did he ski down? Mountain hiking? Why? Especially on Sunday, go to mountain hiking? Do you want to get married? Do you? Do you want to get married or you want to be single all the time? Tell me. Do you want to get married, Emily?
Depends who it is.
Depends who it is, of course. Assuming God has in store for you a tall, dark, and handsome boy. It's not very dark, okay? Just dark enough that you like it, okay?
Pitch black.
Not peach. No. Is that what you want? Is that what?
I kind of
want
to go to Jamaica.
Is that what you want me to pray for you for that? A deep peach darkness?
I don't think so. Men like the way she likes her coffee, strong and black.
Yeah. You honor God, and God honor you and your family. You understand? Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Proverbs 19:14. He who receives a good wife, a noble wife from the Lord, receives favor from the Lord. In other words, if you want to receive favor from the Lord, if you got grace, if you want God's grace, you better honor him. Could you read it? 18:22.
He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord.
And then 19:14.
Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
You want to receive a good husband? It is from the Lord. Your parents cannot give it to you. But your pastor can help you to get it if he pray for you. But if I don't see you on Sunday, you go to ski trip all the time, mountain hiking and all that, I say, Lord, don't give him anything. You understand? Do you understand? So where are we now? Chapter 2, verse 10, Ephesians. For we are God's workmanship. Once you are saved by Jesus Christ, when he gives you God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, he expects you to grow. To grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, he expects you to grow in grace. And so that's why. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, and God raised us up with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realm, and raised us up in Christ Jesus, and seated us in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. Why would God raise us up? Why would God
seated us in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, because we are God's workmanship, because he expects us to do great tasks for him. You understand? When non-Christians look at us, if he say, "Wow, if you believe in Christ, you look like this," I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ, then God won't bless you. If someone look at you and say, "Wow, this is what a Christian is like," then you say, "I want to believe in Jesus," then God going to bless you. What's the reason why he do that? In verse 7, what did the Bible say? In order that he may show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He expects other non-Christian look at your life. If he say, "Oh, Sunday, every Sunday, I see Emily go on a hiking ski trip and all that, and not going to the church," he say, is that what a Christian is like? Do you understand? Should Christian go to a church every Sunday? Don't pick the vacation on Sunday and not going to the church. Then you won't hear the word of the Lord. If you don't hear the word of the Lord, how can you have faith in God? Faith comes from the message. The message comes from the word of Christ. If you do not hear the word of the Lord, how can you have faith in him? You think you go to a ski trip, you can find a tall, dark, and handsome man? No. He won't give it to you. No way. You understand? You kneel down and ask God to show favor to you, then you receive it. You understand? Could you go and read Psalms 86, verse 5? The Lord is good and forgiving, rich in love, abundant in love to those who call on his name. Psalm 86, verse 5.
You're forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you.
Where do we call to the Lord? Where do we pray to the Lord? The best place is in the church. You understand? The Lord is forgiving. The Lord is good. Abounding in love. Great in love, rich in mercy to all who call to you. Make use of that opportunity when you go to the church earlier enough that you can quiet yourself down and lay all your burden, lay all your requests upon him and ask him to help you out. For a student, ask him to help you to study and study well. Christopher, you understand? Daniel, Michael, David, you got that? You know, Michael, very delighted that I'm going to New York. But so I, not necessarily I go to New York on the third Sunday. You know, some I change now. So if I go to a church and I'm finding that you're fooling around, you'll be in deep trouble, Michael, okay? Every time when I see you, I want you to open up the Bible and read it. You got that? I have a lot of eyes, you know? They are my eyes. They look at you. All right? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. How did God create us? He raised us up with Christ Jesus. He seated us in the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. He gave us power to do our task. Why would he do that? In order to show in the coming ages, in order to show all the show to all the non-Christians how good it is to be a Christian. I not only give them eternal life, I bless them. I give them power. I show them favor. That's why the Bible says, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to those who call on your name." We have the privilege to go to the church, not only to hear the gospel, to hear the word of the Lord, but also memorize God's word and then using God's word to pray to God. You promised me to give me a noble wife. Please give it to me. You understand? And for you, you ask a noble husband, right? And he honor you if you honor him. You got that? You understand, Carl? You know, you should thank me. Because he has previous girlfriend, I cut it off. If I don't cut it off, you don't have it. Right, Carl? Yeah. Carl is an obedient child. It's good. Scary, right? So make sure, I want you to memorize these Bible verses, chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4, all the way to 10. It's very, very important, okay? Different wording, but same meaning. Means the same thing. Okay? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How did he create us? He raised us up with Christ Jesus. He seated us with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realm. He gave us the power to finish our task. So he expects a lot of things from you. That's why in chapter 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He gives you salvation and he gives you power to finish your task. My food is to do a will of him, said Jesus, who sent me, and to finish his task. And so that we follow Jesus, we can do the same thing. The moment when we die, I pray that I can have the ability to say to our Lord, Lord, the task that you want me to do, I did it. I do the will of the Lord, and I finish it. And that would be great. Jerry, do you understand? Do you? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help our children not only understand your Bible verses and help us to remember that. Help us to meditate on your word and give us the strength so that we can live a life worthy of your calling. Thank you for saving us by grace through faith. And thank you for giving us power also by grace through faith. Because you told us that in chapter 1, verse 18, your incomparable great power for those who believe in you. We believe in you. And I pray that you give us the power to finish the task that you want us to do. And help us to do the will of the Heavenly Father, to do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ do the will of the Heavenly Father and finish it well. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.